Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 this morning. I know our time is quickly passing by, but I want to share with you just a little bit this morning what the title of this message is this. Do you have enough faith to get your feet wet? Do you have enough faith to get your feet wet? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You'll stand with me, please. We'll read two verses and then pray and let you be seated, if you can. Hebrews 11, verse 6. I believe the writer of Hebrews was the Apostle Paul. I believe Paul tells us in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews about this hall of fame of faith that these people, great Christians that you and I would look to, but they were just ordinary men and women. But these people in Hebrews 11 had enough faith to believe that God was able to do, as Paul says in the book of Ephesians, able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's the kind of God that I believe in today. In Hebrews 11, 6, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, if you're back in the book of Joshua chapter 3 this morning, if you've got your place marked there, I'm going to read one verse to you. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 13, and it says, and it came to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the presence of God today. Thank you, Lord, for this service and for everyone that is here this morning. Lord, you know, as we look out across this congregation, there are probably men and women and young folks that have particular needs in their life. Lord, I don't know the needs, but you do. But God, I know this, that if we have enough faith to believe, enough faith as a grain of mustard seed, we could say to the mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be done. And Lord, I don't know what all these folks are facing today, but I do know one that's able to conquer every mountain. Lord, they're able to give victory in the life of every believer. Father, you're able to set the captive free and break the chains of sin that are bounding and binding people. Now I pray, Holy Ghost of God, have your complete will now in this service. Lord, I need your help today. Lord, you know I've wrestled about what to preach. And God, I just pray that in Jesus' name you would take the very message that you'd want us to hear today and seal it to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. Look, if you would, in Joshua chapter number 3. Joshua chapter 3, there is the story of the Israelites, how they've come out of Egyptian bondage. And if you read your Bible, you'll know that the Israelites, God had promised them to bring them into Canaan. There was a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of great abundance, a land that would have everything they'd ever want. There was only a couple problems as they journeyed and they got to the edge of the Canaan land, as they got to the edge of promised land. By the way, Canaan land in the Bible is not a picture of heaven. Canaan in the Bible is a picture of victorious Christian life as you live for the Lord. And there are problems, though, in that life. I would love to tell you this morning, the day I got saved, that cured all my problems, but it didn't. The day I got saved, I got somebody that could help me with my problems, but it didn't cure them all my problems. And neither were they yours. But when you get saved, now you have somebody that you can call on in the hour of need, in the time of trial. When your heart's breaking in two, you've got somebody that you can rely upon. Before that, you did not. These Israelites, they came out of Egypt delivered by the blood. They came to Kadesh Barnea. They made a mistake. They made a mistake by appointing a 12 people, 12 men to go out and spy out the land. They said, bring us back a report. Tell us what you find out there. And they came back. They said, surely it's a land flowing milk and honey. Man, I tell you why, those grapes out yonder are so big, you could skin one, put it on your head, and use it as a swimming cap. I tell you what, it's a wonderful land of milk and honey. No doubt it's a land that's rich, but there's problems. There's giants in the land, and we're afraid of them giants. My friend, you've got giants in your life. I got giants in my life. I'm not talking about 9-foot Goliaths. I'm talking about, my friend, obstacles in your life. You're facing something this morning that only by the help of God that you can get through it. Maybe you've gone to the doctor and he's given you a bad report. Maybe you've not even shared that with anybody else. Maybe your wife, your family members don't even know anything about it, but you know. Maybe perhaps you're facing some type of financial crisis in your family. Maybe right now you're facing a job loss. I don't know. But there's a giant in your life this morning. And as these Israelites got to Kadesh Barnea, they came back, and 10 of them had an evil report, 2 of them had a good report, and God said, because of your unbelief, you'll not go into the promised land. You see, it only took them 11 days to go from Egypt to the edge of the promised land. They could have gotten in there on day number 12. Less than 2 weeks' time, they could have gone from being in bondage into the land of milk and honey, but because of their unbelief, they were doomed to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And he said that every one of you age 21 years of old and up will die in the wilderness. Horrible place to die in the wilderness away from God. Away from the blessings of God. Some of you sit here this morning, you heard the prayer needs, you've heard the praise reports, and in your heart you're saying, Lord, I need some of that. Lord, I need a touch from God today. I need God to work in my life like he's never worked before. Can I tell you something? God is not a respecter of persons. And what God will do for one, he'll do for another. Amen. What God will do for one person, he'll do for another. He doesn't look down from heaven and say, okay, just because you're white and just because you've got money in your pocket and just because you live in North Carolina, I'm going to bless you. No, my friend, God is not a respecter of persons. He will bless those that will cry out to him and agonize in prayer and turn their problems over to God. He'll do it. He'll do it. Now in Joshua chapter 3, the old crowd has died out. The young folks have come on the scene, and now they're at the very edge of crossing over into Canaan land. They're getting ready. They're chomping at the bits to get over. And God says, now there's just one more problem you got to face. You got to cross the River Jordan. Oh, that's no problem. Wow. The River Jordan, when it's at low tide, when there's not been any rain, why, Miss Gail, we can actually just wade across Jordan in the dry season. No problem, right? There is a problem. Because God said, not during the dry season, but during the rainy season. Instead of Jordan being a hop and a skip and a jump, now the river is swollen to where it is now a mile wide. And there is no way possible in the human mind that we could wade across these raging waters as the waters coming down from the mountains, gushing down through Jordan. No way we could ever get across except the help of the Lord. Joshua 3 picks up at that point. And I want to show you about four things real quickly. I believe they'll help be a help to you. First of all, would you note in verse number 15? In verse number 15, verse number 5, he says, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He said, folk, tomorrow God's going to do something that only God can do. Beloved, if we can do it in ourselves, then we don't need God. If we can come to that point of fixing things in our own life, We don't need the help of the Lord. But my friend, when we come to the desperation and we cry out to the Lord and say, God, only you can do this. If it gets done, only you can do it. God, you can only save a soul. God, you can only deliver somebody from crack cocaine. Only God can do those things, my friend. And friend, when we come to that desperation and we cry out to God, God will move in a mighty way. There's divine instructions. Notice, if you would, verse number 2. He said in verse number 2, he said 3 days. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. 3 days, three in the Bible is a picture of the Trinity. But not only is a picture of the Trinity, but remember Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. I still believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And I believe the Bible that says that he was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights and arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And for you and me to get over Jordan, and Jordan is always a picture of death, we've got to be able to crucify the flesh. We've got to be able to live in the Spirit if we're going to walk with God. We learn from our mistakes. We should. I don't know about you today, but have you ever tried putting something together and not reading the directions? Have you ever gotten maybe a Christmas toy? And men, maybe you were helping Santa out and you decided you'd put together this bicycle, but you knew how the bicycle looks and you knew how everything goes, and so you know, it's a waste of time to read the instructions, so we get everything out and there's 100,000 bolts and nuts, and this one looks like it goes here, and that one looks like it goes there. And instead of a bicycle, we end up with a unicycle. Amen. Have you ever tried doing something, and as you try doing something, you end up failing because you've never had the right instructions? Well, beloved, have you ever tried living your life without God's divine instructions? You'll make a mess every time. You'll make mistakes every time. The Word of God said, the psalmist said in Psalm 37:23, this is one of my most favorite verses in all the Bible, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. My friend, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is in the book. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Never make a decision unless you know it's what God wants you to do. Amen. If you do, you'll make the wrong decision. You say, what am I to do, preacher? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If you don't know what to do, the best thing is to do nothing and wait on God. That's the problem we have. Now, we don't want to wait. We want to hurry up, get it done so we can get through this thing and get on. My friend, God is not in a hurry. God is not confined to a timetable. God says, if you'll follow me, sometimes that means stopping along the journey, waiting on God, listening to the Lord, then moving out. These folk here had to learn how to wait on the Lord. I want you to see something else here. There is a promise to follow the Lord. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, the Lord will do wonders among you. Hey, can I tell you something? I don't see this being braggadocious. I don't. But isn't it good to see God at work in the church? Isn't it wonderful when we can come and just like last Sunday, get on this altar and pray and see God's hand work? Amen. It's not by accident. It's not by might. It's not by any manipulation. It's by the Spirit of God. And honey, when he's at work in the church, guess what? He'll get the glory, the praise, and oh, awesome things will God do. I don't want to rob the thunder from Brother Keith, but this week, last Wednesday, he shared, and I'm going to share a bit with him. I want him to tell the story.
Well, there was a man at his work that just about, if it hadn't have been for the grace of Almighty God, he would have lost his life. But God intervened. And because God intervened, Brother Keith was able to sit down and lead that man to the Lord. What wonders that God, listen, what does the Bible say? He said, listen, and by all intents, this man here that Brother Keith would tell you about, if you saw what had happened, if you saw that explosion, if you saw the debris, you would have said somebody would have died. And rightly he should have. But you see, God will do wonders among his people. Amen. God is still on the throne. Honey, I got news for you. He didn't get up this morning twiddling his fingers, wondering what this day is going to hold. Hallelujah. He knew in advance what this day was going to hold. As the children sing, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what happens today, no matter what adversity comes my way, I can say this is the day that the Lord hath made. Second of all, there's the decision that followed. Look in verses 6 through 8. Now, here's the dilemma. Is that they said, okay, now we're going to cross Jordan. And here's what I want you to do. God said to Joshua, I want you to get the Ark of the Covenant. I want the priest to carry the Ark of the Covenant in front of all the people. And when they get to the edge of Jordan, I want them to put their feet in the water. And there was a decision. Look in verses 6 through 8. When they came down to the edge of Jordan, God said, I'll bring you to the other side, but first of all, you have to trust me. The first test was when the Ark of the Covenant, they were to carry it in front of all the people. Now the Ark is a symbol of the presence of Almighty God. As long as the Ark was in the camp, God was blessing the Israelites. If the ark, one time it was stolen, they lost the blessings of God. Beloved, if we want the blessings of God on our home, on our church, we've got to have God's presence. Amen. It's not going to come through any type of maneuvering. It's going to come through some old-fashioned prayer meetings and old-fashioned begging and pleading with God and reaching up and grabbing hold of the throne of the Lord and say, God bless me. I'll not let go till you bless me. Now here those priests brought the ark out in front of all the people. I want you to show you something. All the people are watching. Then they said, get in the water. Step in the water. You've got to exercise your faith. Do you mean business with God? Do you really want to get across Jordan? Do you want to get in the promised land? You got to get your feet wet. You got to get your feet wet. Faith is not faith until it is exercised. You could sit here all day long and say, preacher, I have faith. I believe God. I believe that Bible. I believe everything in it. Until you are put in a place to exercise it. How many of you believe God answers prayer? How many of you believe Bible says, Philippians says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Amen. Faith is not faith until we put it to the test. We cannot stand on the side of the bank and say, God, I believe that I'm going to cross Jordan on dry ground. God says, get your feet wet. If you believe me, go ahead, get your feet wet. We cannot sit in the boat like Peter and say, God, I believe I can walk on the water. God said, get out of the boat. You see, my friend, we say we believe God, but God says, try me. Oh, put me to the test. Step out by faith. Live by faith. Walk out on nothing. You know what our problem is? Here's our problem. We are afraid. If that we step out on faith and it doesn't work out, we're in big trouble. We're afraid we're going to get embarrassed if all of a sudden we step out and God tells you, by the way, God's told me to some things here. Listen. God spoke my heart here recently, and I'm like, Lord, are you sure about this? Friend, let me tell you something. Where God will move, He wants you to step out by faith and trust Him for the end results. I can't see a year down the road. I can't see a mile down the road. But what I can see is faith one step at a time. And I can say, dear Lord, I know you're leading me. I'm following you. Lord, I trust you that I'm not going to fall. Now watch something here. These Israelites, they came to the point that God says, if you want the river to part, you gotta get your feet wet. We don't want to step out on faith because we're afraid of being embarrassed if things don't work out. I've been reading another book here lately. It's called A Wild Goose Chase by Mark Batterson. He tells a story in that book about a fellow named Paul. I didn't think he'd give his last name, but he lived in Chicago. Paul was a preacher, and he felt impressed. God impressed his heart to go to be a part of a national prayer meeting in Washington, D.C. Now, Paul's living in Chicago. It's not like he'd walk down the street. And so, as he began to pray about this, and God impressed upon him that he was to be at this National Day of Prayer in Washington, D.C. He said, Lord, I don't know why, but you want me there. So he knew a friend that was in Washington, and he contacted him and said, hey, can you get me a ticket to go to this prayer breakfast? He said, I doubt it. He said, you know, there it's pretty well full up. He said, we'll see what you can do. That was 6 weeks before the event. He checked back with him, nothing happened. 4 weeks went by, nothing happened. 2 weeks before the event, nothing happened. Still had not heard. On the day before the prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C., he called his friend and he said, is there any hope of me getting a ticket into that prayer breakfast? He said, I don't know. I can't tell you. God's still impressed. He called the airline at 4:30 in the afternoon on the day before the prayer breakfast. There was one seat left on a flight leaving at 7:30 from Chicago headed to Washington, D.C. Still, he'd not heard. Would God impress him? He calls the airline, says, book me that last seat. He calls his wife up, says, pack me a suitcase. I'm headed to Washington. Grabs a suitcase, jumps on the flight at 7:30, and still, he didn't know where he was going, if he was going to have a seat or not. While he was en route, while he was flying, he checked his email, and there was an invitation to attend the National Prayer Breakfast. Had he waited till the next morning, he wouldn't have caught a flight. He'd have missed it altogether. By faith, he stepped out, believing that God was going to open the door, believing that God was leading him. And by faith, he bought the airline ticket. By faith, he jumped on the plane. By faith, God had him there. Why? Because he believed enough to get his feet wet. Where are you today? Are you believing God enough to where you'll get your feet wet? Are you believing the Lord to say, hey, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I believe you're going to do it. Next of all, look in verse 9. There's divine instruction as well. Come hither, hear the words of the Lord your God. How do you know, preacher? Right here it is. Right here. Do you want to know what God wants you to do in life? Right there it is. Now, I don't mean that God's going to put your name right yonder and he's not going to say, Frank Goodson, I want you to do this, and Renee Goodson, I want you to do that. But my friend, when you read the Word of God and God speaks to your heart, you'll know what God wants you to do. And you've got to rely on His Word for direction. But then last of all, there's a definite miracle. Look in verse 16.
When they got down to the water, the Israelites came to Jordan, and the river, it was still, the feet of the priests was wet as they got down to the river. Look in verse 16. And that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap every far from the city of Adam all the way back. I believe it's some 20-something miles that the waters rolled back. And the Israelites walked over on dry ground. Why? Because the priests had enough faith to believe what God had said, and that God was going to deliver them, and God was going to let them go on dry ground. Hey, do you have enough faith to get your feet wet? Are you willing to step into the water? Are you willing to say, hey, sink or swim, live or die, I'm serving the Lord all the way? No doubt about it. What obstacle are you facing in your life this morning? What obstacle? Is it something in your family? Is something in your home? God provided a way when there wasn't a way, just like he had done for their forefathers. When they came to the edge of the Red Sea, God had performed a miracle for their forefathers. God did again. God provided a way when the widow had no meal in her barrel. God provided a great fish to swallow Jonah instead of him drowning in the ocean. God provided a fire-retardant clothing for the three Hebrew children when they're thrown in the flame. God provided a sacrifice for Isaac where there wasn't one. And God will provide for you if you'll trust him.